Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 1009. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me on this special recording of Gamer Tag Radio, we have Paris here, man. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, what is going on, man? Impromptu episode emergency podcast. I mean, we normally do daily conversations, but, you know, the stars have aligned that I'm working from home, you're home, and we decided to do this live on Twitch to talk about E3, man. Big news.
Yes. So before we go with that, head over to gamertagradio.com and listen to our past episodes. Make sure to go to any podcast app and subscribe. Just search for GTR, Gamertag Radio. You'll find us. Follow us. If you can, post also a review about the podcast, and it will help us out a lot. Also, if you have questions for fan mail, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So I hit up Paris earlier today, and also Paris mentioned this too, man. I was like, look, I think we should record a special episode about this because we had a strange feeling. Actually, it all started yesterday that rumors been going around that the ESA was going to announce that E3 2020 was going to be canceled due to the coronavirus. And we had a feeling, but we wasn't sure exactly. I thought we were going to wait a little bit longer, but it makes sense why they made this announcement now. Because if you actually think about it, a lot of these companies start planning on booking hotels and booking venues and all these places, man, like really, really early. So not only that, but also people that work in the LA Convention Center. It's like a whole crazy process, man, before the event starts. So it was announced today that the event is canceled, and we want to talk about a couple of things. Now, one is our thoughts about E3 canceling for the first time ever since 1995. Every year. Since 1995, and this is the first time completely done, canceled. Another thing we want to talk about is, you know, lately, actually over the past couple of weeks, we've been promoting about donations because we wanted to go to E3, especially me, that I don't have a job, and we've been asking for donations from listeners, and a lot of people have been donating, and we want to give you also an update with that. And also, the third and final thing we want to talk about is our plans, what we plan to do for E3 2020, and I quote, digital version, I guess, of that. And we're going to go from there. So our thoughts. Paris, I know I talked a lot. I think it's better for you to start with this, and then we'll go from there, man.
I will start it off this way by saying that I have obviously been very vocal over the past few years about E3 and its demise, and that it was just not relevant anymore, and that eventually it was going to go away. I just want to say that it's not a joking matter. This isn't a I told you so anything, because it being canceled this year this way is very disruptive. And this is going to affect a lot of people. Unfortunately, there are people out there that were counting on working the show in various capacities that this will affect their bottom line financially. Right. So for that, I truly sympathize for that. And it sucks. It really does. My hope was that if and or when E3 went away, we'd like say this was it. 2020 was going to be the year for E3. We would go to the show. It would do its thing. And then because of the fallout from it, the feedback from it, it could gracefully go away or transform into something else, not get canceled because of the coronavirus. Obviously, this thing has become an epidemic at this point that is affecting a lot of things. Like, I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast yesterday with the director from the Center of Disease, you know, Infectious Diseases. He was saying, because they've been tracking this since November, that there's going to be another 6 months of this before we see a reliable vaccine come at a minimum. So that just tells me, don't count on Comic-Con, don't count on PAX, don't count on Gamescom. Don't count on these gaming events. Count on all this stuff going digital. I mean, even my job right now, they're telling everybody, keep your ass at home. You know what I'm saying? We're developing business continuity plans as we speak so that people can work remotely, because safety first. Let's not take any chances, any risks or whatever. But back to the point of E3, like you said, it does look like, I saw Xbox, I saw Ubisoft, I saw Devolver Digital and others stating they will have an online presence, right? There will be something that happens. There will be press conferences and presentations. You know, so you and I have been talking about this offline for a little bit anyways, that to me, they were already working on these contingency plans, because you know, there was a real chance that E3 was going to get canceled. You know, we were hoping that it didn't, but hey, it made sense that it happened now, because you have to lock in and commit to getting the booths built, to just the everything that goes along with E3. That stuff had to have been locked in now. So a decision had to be made. And clearly you side on the error of caution right now, safety first. So you canceled it. It was the right move. I'm glad they did it, because it was for the right reasons. Now, what E3, they already said they're going to come back in 2021. All I'll say on that is, we will see. I hope so. I truly do. But I wouldn't hold my breath in this sense. They're going to do these digital presentations. My personal opinion, they're going to go over very well, because I still think that message and everything that they're getting out to the mass consumers is still going to be relayed. PlayStation was clearly already doing this. You know what I'm saying? So basically now Xbox, Ubisoft, EA, 2K, all the Bethesda, all the rest are going to do the same exact thing. And I think what is going to happen is, and we're not going to really see the ramifications into this until after holiday 2020. But I think once we get into December 2020, January 2021, you're going to start to see these companies go, wait a minute, this kind of works. We're still on track for our projections. Everything's still selling well. Everyone's still happy. Social media is engaged, streaming engaged, all that. Why are we going back to E3 again? That's going to be a real question. I'm not saying E3 2021 is going to be canceled, but there will be a real conversation at Microsoft, at Ubisoft, at 2K, etc., about this, because they're being forced into doing this. And if it is a success, why are we going back? That would be my only thing to say about that. But as we sit here in the present, it sucks that E3 is going away this way, because like I said at the top, it's going to affect a lot of people financially, and that's just unfortunate.
Yeah, and I know we always talk about like the major companies, Paris, you know, Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, everybody, right? But the thing that I'm worried about is a couple of things, is the smaller indie companies this is like the only opportunity that they'll go to like a conference to show like their games. They're not an Xbox. They're not a Ubisoft or EA, where they have a lot of money for them to like travel everywhere and promote these games. You know, sometimes these smaller companies will go to like one event and that's it, you know, and maybe E3 is the only one for them, you know. But now think about it. No PAX, because that most likely is going to happen. No PAX West, etc. Maybe no Comic-Con. And I'm a little bit worried about that. I'm also worried about all these people that this is like for them to make money working at the convention center, selling sodas, people, security. Like there's so many people that are going to have like no job opportunities because of this, no money, nothing, because now they're staying home. There's nothing available that day at the convention during the whole week, you know? So it's going to hurt a lot of people, man. That's the part that I'm worried about the most. But I also understand that safety comes first, and we also have to focus on that, man, you know. And I think this is, in a way, how I say this, man, in a way it is good for us to experience this, Paris, because I feel like as a society we're so dependent on this, on like, oh yeah, it's gonna happen every year, this and this and that. But what happened if there's no sporting events, no E3, no church? Because now there's even states, I think the Washington state, the governor over there just banned any event that has over 250 people.
As they should.
Completely banned.
Yeah.
Completely banned. So as a society, we have to get used to this. Like, it's going to be like this for months. Like you said, maybe up to 6 months or more, even more. Who knows? We got to get used to this, Matt, because it's good for us to experience this. We have never seen this in our lifetime, ever. And this is the first time that we've seen something like this, man, that is going to be challenging. And it's going to be like, what's going to happen in the future because of all this, man, you know? Look, I just traveled to Orlando a couple of days ago. I was there last week. And there was a conference. I went there for a PodFest. So that was going on. But when I got there, I also heard that there was another conference that was going to happen at the same hotel in Orlando. And people found out that it got canceled when a lot of them just landed in Orlando. And they found out when they got to the hotel, they completely got canceled. Super random. So I got lucky with that part. But when I was traveling, dude, I've never seen this ever. I go to the plane, Paris. It was packed. It wasn't too empty. But there was a lot of seats available, of course. But you see everybody cleaning their seats, cleaning the screen, the everywhere around that area, spraying. Man, it was just weird, man. Super weird. Now we got to live like this for a while, man. Yo, dude, every time I travel here in New York, the train, same exact thing, man. Same exact thing, man. So it's going to be a weird experience, and we just got to get used to this, man. You know what I'm saying? So.
No, we do. We do. Like you're saying, we're being forced into this, unfortunately. But hey, life comes at you fast, man. I mean, the video game, it puts a lot of things into perspective. We love talking gaming and people like trolling on Twitter and doing all that nonsense. But at the end of the day, this is a real health concern. And I mean, yeah, I know people want to say, oh, it's overblown. It's just like the flu or whatever. But here's the difference between influenza and the coronavirus. We have a vaccine for influenza. So, yeah, a lot of people do die from the flu every year. We get it. But right now, why are we risking something that, yeah, if you're young and you're healthy, most likely this you'll get sick, you'll have some symptoms, and you'll eventually get over it. But what about our senior community? What about children? What about people that their health isn't the greatest? Why are we risking this when there isn't a valid vaccine right now? So, of course, you err on the side of caution. And I think, you know, bringing this back into gaming for 1 second, what this does do by canceling E3 and canceling most likely, because again, get ready. PAX, Gamescom, Comic-Con, all that stuff's going away this summer. It is. So the fact that all this stuff is getting canceled this year, it's going to let us know if those events still matter. Because now we'll get to see, because we're literally getting a dry run on this, that do these companies need to just do a digital only thing? Do they still need to have basically an on-prem presence for these type of events? We're about to find out. We're going to find out what public reaction to all this is going to be, because then I know we'll get into our plans and everything, how we plan to cover this stuff. But this is going to be the trial run. We're going to know because of 2020 how these companies are going to react in 2021 and beyond, because we clearly have the technology to do all these presentations and get this message out to hundreds of millions of people all at once. That already exists. We know that. Now they're going to actually put that into practice, and let's see how it works. Just from my own personal opinion, I think it's going to go over very well. I really do. I think, as an example, Microsoft is still going to do their presentation online. They're still going to have all their reveals, all that. Phil Spencer's going to come out, talk, blah, 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 blah. PlayStation obviously is going to do something very similar. Guess what? In November, you're still going to go buy the Series X. You're still going to go buy the PlayStation 5. You're still going to get Halo. You're still going to get, I don't know, Horizon Zero Dawn 2 and all this other stuff. It's still going to go down the same exact way, whether E3 existed or not. That's how I look at it, to try and pull some positive out of this. This isn't going to ruin gaming. This isn't going to ruin our experience. I mean, if anything, because a lot of these factories in China have been shut down, it could, we talked about this before, it could affect manufacturing. Maybe there's not as many PlayStation 5s and Xboxes available this holiday. That could be an effect of this. But other than that, well, ultimately, we will be fine coming out of this. I truly do believe that. But it's going to be an interesting test case to see how this digital only format of these big game reveals works. We're about to find out.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering how Xbox is going to do this, because usually they do the whole inside Xbox and they have like the host. And me personally, because I'm trying to take it to like the positive way now, I hope that something special edited, like something really, really cool, instead of just having like the hosting. I think they should do that after they show like the presentation of that. You know what I'm trying to say, Paris? Like,
yeah,
when you watch a Nintendo Direct during the year and Nintendo Direct during E3, you could tell the difference when it comes to production value. It's totally different. So is Microsoft going to do something like that? You know, that's the thing that I'm super curious.
I think, like, they're going all out. I really do.
That you, and I hope it's like that, man. I really do. I think that a hired a team that has some really editing cool skills, man, and just go all out, man. And yeah. And just send a message to us, the gamers, man. Because I think that we're seeing a lot of these companies that are announcing that, yeah, we're going to have some digital presence in the future. I think that all the companies are going to talk to each other, like the teams and so on. And I think it's going to happen during the week of E3, but it's all digital, all strictly digital.
Yeah.
But Microsoft is still going to have the same time where they have planned for their press conference. They're going to do the same exact thing,
yep,
just online. Same thing with Ubisoft, which most likely will be Monday of that week, right, Paris? Monday at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Pacific time, I think it is. Something like that. So Devolver Digital is probably going to do the same exact thing. So from that part, I think we're going to be fine. The challenging part is okay, what's going to happen after that? They already have their press conferences and everything. Are they still going to have a stream presence throughout the whole week, or just one day, or what?
That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. How? And again, let's just focus on Microsoft for a second, because I mean, yeah, the fact that Phil Spencer, like, they obviously were prepared for this, because Phil Spencer immediately, when the announcement went live, tweeted about their plans. Aaron Greenberg followed it up as well. So. Yeah. I do think, because think about it, those resources that they were going to pump in to have their away team down in LA, they can now take that same money and pump that into a completely digital presence, right? So mm-hmm. I expect them to go all out with that. I expect big reveals, pre-recorded things, so that the presentation's perfect. You know how they know. Then obviously Phil comes out, talks about stuff. Other developers come out, because you know how Microsoft does their production values with pre-recorded stuff. So I fully expect that for like let's just take the Halo Infinite reveal. Halo Infinite, they're going to have Bonnie Ross come out. They'll probably get, you know, various people from the team talking. They're going to show the game and, you know, the voice, all that stuff, right? So I expect a huge production value from Microsoft. But like you're saying, all right, the presentation's done. Now, for the hands-on stuff, like for us, the media, one of the big things that sucks about this is typically we would go to the media showcase for Xbox right after the press briefing, right? We get hands-on, yep, with everything. Now we can't do that. I don't even know if these games will be in a state that they could potentially have like some type of online demo that we could download and check it out. I doubt that. I really don't think that's going to happen, by the way. But does that happen? You know, do they do some inside Xbox series of events during the week where now you have people hands on playing Halo Infinite? We get to actually see someone with a controller in their hand playing it, things like that. Major Nelson obviously hosts it or whatever, right? Do they do that? Or, which I think they probably do, my two cents, you do the thing, mm-hmm, Sunday, you let all the media outlets discuss, you podcast about it, stream about it, do all that stuff. Then on the Monday or Tuesday after everyone's done all their press briefings, Microsoft then comes back with a 2 to 3 hour hands-on. Major Nelson's on the couch. You have everyone coming through, talking about their games, playing it, all that stuff. To me, and then you're done. Because why would you piece it out over the week? There's really no point to do it. You just have one big production, knock it out in a 2 to 3 hour block, and you're done. And that's E3 for Xbox, I would think. I mean, what do you think?
Well, they've done inside Xbox throughout the whole week of E3, so it's not a lot of hours, but it's busy throughout the week. So they have the press conference and after that, inside Xbox. That's what they've always been doing. But speaking on that whole press demos, Paris, I like the idea, and I won't say no. That's not going to happen. It might happen, because remember, Microsoft could easily do this, have that available, have it against the servers, and only a certain amount of people from the press could download it, and it will be available only for maybe a couple hours, whatever. But hold on, let me finish. And then once it's done, it's done, right? Or they also could do this, because they've done this in the past during the Xbox 360 days. Microsoft will be on stage talking about it, and they'll say, you could download this demo right now at this, like during the week of E3, and that's also possible. Now, what will be cool, which I doubt is going to happen, is a game like Halo Infinite multiplayer just say, hey, it's available for only this week. That's possible too. But who knows? Who knows what their plans is? It can't just be, we're going to be streaming and that's it. I think there's going to be more than just that, I think.
Am I allowed to speak now, Captain?
Yes, you're okay, allowed. Okay. You're allowed to speak.
Thank you, because the chat said the captain's speaking, so be quiet. So I listened
to
the
chat. God.
No. All I was going to interrupt and was going to say was, the one caveat to that is most of these games are in a they're running on dev kits. They're in a dev kit state. They're not a final code, so that you could put it out on the public Xbox Live network to download and play. So there would really have to be, because think about it, whatever you have at home, your Xbox at home, and I don't know if they still do this or not. Remember at one point, Xboxes, you could turn them into a dev kit. There would be a lot of hoops the media would probably have to jump through to be able to play pre-release code at home versus at an event where you already got the dev kits ready to go and play. So you would have to have games that are in a damn near final state in June to be able to send them out over Xbox Live, or like people in the chat are saying, play it via xCloud or something like that. So I don't know. That, to me, that one seems highly unlikely, because they're going to want it in a controlled environment. These are betas and alphas that are going to have bugs and issues. They're not going to be able to control it if you're sitting at home playing it. You know what I'm saying? So
no, and I agree.
I'm kind of that's why I was saying from the jump, I kind of doubt that would happen. So it'll, again, it's going to be interesting to see their approach.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying every single game, but hey, maybe a couple, who knows? I mean, I don't know, man. Like, it's just right now it's like a big, huge question mark, because we don't know what's going to happen. This is all theories of what we think might happen. But I think the part that we're right is all these companies most likely is going to stream during the same week of E3. So we agree on that, though, right, Paris?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just after that, what's going to happen? Are they going to have a live stream throughout the week? Are they going to have demos for the press, or maybe demos for just everybody overall? Because everybody's going to be stay home, man. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
So anything else from that, Paris?
We'll go to the next thing. No, I think that's it. We probably should just go ahead and move on.
Okay. All right. Another thing I want to talk about is, for the past few weeks, I've been talking about donations. Hey, you know, I want to go to E3 and so on. So a couple of things. One is I want to give a huge thank you to everybody that's been donating. I believe, Paris, do you have the how much we already raised? Because I think it's 400 and something now.
I don't have the, because again, I just switched computers, so I don't have the donation bell set up yet. It's in the fours. It's four something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. So thank you, everybody who's been donating. You know, people have been donating like $5, $100, $50, like all over the place. So I really appreciate that, because that was something that I really needed to go to LA, just from the support from everybody from our community. Now E3 is canceled. What's next? And we've been talking, Paris and I, and honestly speaking, we still want to continue getting donations, because we want to invest on other things that's going to help on GTR. For example, a year ago, I bought a Rodecaster Pro. It's a mixer, which you guys have already seen pictures of. It's really, really cool. I've been using that a lot. Every time I travel to like a major event, I bring that with me and we connect our mics. I took it with me to Washington, and I had like roundtables, we talked to developers like that and everything. So I bought that because of the community. If it wasn't for you guys listening to the show, donations, sending subs through Twitch and so on, it would have been possible for me to get this device. So what I want to do is use the same money and also Paris invest on a camera, because we really want to focus on video. Paris been now posting a lot of content, great content on his YouTube channel, but we want to do more, you know? So I don't want people to feel like, damn, I just been sending donations. Now it's a waste. I don't want you guys to feel that it's a waste, because it's not. And we want to be truthful, like 100% truthful with everybody. We want to use that money on something now that E3 is not available. Let's invest that on something that's going to benefit the site, benefit the show, and it's going to help us to get even more opportunities on more content, you know? And I think this is the right way to go. What do you think, Paris?
No, I'm in complete agreement with you. As far as, like you said, we want to keep the donations going, because unfortunately, a lot of these equipment upgrades ain't cheap. Like you mentioned, in my case of I need to upgrade my camera equipment, because like even the content that I have been putting on YouTube, I've been doing it the most ghetto way possible. And yes, and you know, I need to upgrade that experience. Even here, like I'm talking on this mic, I want to upgrade my mic. Like I'm truly trying to turn this space into a studio where I can create content. Look, with coronavirus out there, content I can create with my ass right here, and it's high production, the whole thing. So camera, microphones, those are two major things that I need to get. Better lighting, it's something else I need to get, things like that. And, you know, it's not cheap. So the more people can help with that, the better. And this is going to help us in the long run, not only for the content that we produce locally when we're at home, but even when we are at an event like E3. How great, because again, this was my vision. How great would it have been? Oh, well, look, matter of fact, since it's not going to happen, I might as well say. So it was already set up, ready to go. I'd already talked to PR at Microsoft. Sit down interview with Bonnie Ross for Halo Infinite. Yeah. That was 100% happening. We'd already discussed it, you know, behind the scenes. Obviously, Bonnie even tweeted about it in public. That was happening. We were doing that on camera. There was no way in hell I was doing that only as an audio podcast, because just the facial reactions, the laughing that we probably would have been doing, just the whole thing, obviously talking about Halo Infinite, that was something that I wanted to do, which again, I'm like, we need to upgrade our equipment if we're doing this. I can't be using a phone camera, you know, with the microphone on.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been doing it like that for a couple of years, but I think in our level now, I think it's about time. It's time for us to upgrade. And look, that reaction video that I did with Paris coming out from the CD Projekt Red room at E3, that was with using my phone. But imagine having an official camera, like, oh, I'm recording Paris, not knowing that I was going to do that. I think the quality would have been better. Like, it would have been cool. You know what I'm saying? So even all the interviews, like, would have been super cool. And look, man, like you said, we were having a conversation with 343, with Bonnie, and a couple of people from Microsoft, that we wanted to have that interview, man. And we were like, Paris and I were like, yo, we have to do this on video. Of course, we're going to do the podcast version, but video, 100%, it's happening. And we can just do it on the phone, man. Yeah. On an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, and you see everybody with professional cameras all the time.
Like,
you know what
like,
I'm saying? But hey, it is what it is.
Like,
man,
I can tell you another one that it wasn't 100% official yet, but it was most likely going to happen. CD Projekt Red was going to have another presence at E3, right?
Yeah.
I obviously, you know, we know their people, you know, community managers and PR people pretty well at this point. And, you know, I may or may not have had some initial conversations a few weeks ago about this, but the point is, again, that was another thing. If we were going to quote unquote do the trilogy at E3 with Cyberpunk, again, we wanted to do it the right way. Not only a reaction if they were showing some demo or whatever, but want to, and this may still happen. Who knows what their preview events, but with the coronavirus, maybe they don't fly anyone out and have an event. I don't know. But one thing that we absolutely would want to do is, let's have a sit down with a few of their devs and let's talk about this game and just this whole ride that we've been on the past few years. I mean, these are the kind of conversations and the kind of things that we at Gamertag Radio want to do moving forward. And like Danny said, camera phone. Look, if all you got is a camera phone, damn it, do it. But
we want to
be better. We want to look, we want our production values to be better. You know, again, this is part of the reason why I went and upgraded this PC to what it is now, so I can actually do high value production quality on a lot of this stuff and do it a lot quicker and more efficient. But that's the plan. That's the unfortunate fallout of E3 this year is we're not going to be able to do the face-to-face type of interviews that we wanted to do. And like I said, there was a good chance I was going to go to Gamescom again this year. That's probably out too. I'm just assuming none of that's going to happen. So if there's no Gamescom and there's no E3, unfortunately, the biggest games is holiday. We're just simply not going to have face-to-face interviews. We're going to have to do them online, and we'll just do the best that we possibly can, you know, under the scenario. Because again, I've already had four events I was supposed to go to. Gone.
Yep. Gone. I had one. I had one, and it got canceled too.
This is just a reality of what it is. And again, I'm going under the assumption that my black ass ain't going nowhere this year. I will be sitting right here in my house doing everything. That's just my assumption. Yeah. But going into 2021, absolutely, we want to make sure that we upgrade our equipment and that going to 2021, we can approach this the right way. So if we're going to start doing it, we got to start asking now. Again, the donation thing. So we are going to be talking about this moving forward. And it really comes down to anything you can donate is appreciated, really.
Yeah.
If it's a dollar, whatever you can spare.
And also shout out to one of our community members. His name is Lazy Beard. I wanted to give him a shout out because this is something that I was not expecting at all. And none of us from the whole team. And he emailed me. Actually, he contacted me through Discord and said, Danny, what are the days that you're going to E3? And I told him. And everything, he got me a flight to actually go to E3. I never talked about this publicly because, you know, I didn't want everybody to know. I wanted him to say himself, you know what I'm saying? So, now that it's canceled, I think it's the right way for us to talk. I already talked to him about this too, man. So, but it was cool to see the support that we get from everybody in the community, man. Like, I was not expecting that at all. I was just saying, everybody, hey, if you can, donate $1 and hopefully that will help me to attend E3. Because look, man, I don't have a job right now. This is like my full time. And I've been kind of nervous. Like, man, am I going to go to E3 or what? And getting that support from people donating and also him getting a flight for me to go to E3, that was something that I wasn't expecting. And it was super awesome. And I appreciate everybody that doing that, man, you know. And I want to say one thing, Paris. I know, the plans has changed and everything, but I want to like promise everybody that's either watching this or listening to this through the podcast. I promise you that we're going to figure this thing out. Right now it's a little bit like question mark because we don't know what's the company's plans, but let's just say that all these companies are actually streaming and doing everything the same week of E3. Then I'll promise you that we're going to do more things now. We're going to do live stream reactions, which we have never done before on Twitch. Also, multiple podcast episodes. And most likely, I want to do this too. I'm going to contact every single company to see if we could do interviews during the week of E3. We'll see. It's not 100%, but I promise you that we're going to figure something out because E3 to us was like the time we get the most downloads, the most listens, the most talked about episodes ever. It's always been during the time of E3. And I know we could do this again. Yes, we're not there physically, but we could do that. We'll figure it out. I promise you that. So just want to say that very quick. Anything else from that, Paris?
No, I mean, I think that covers it pretty well. I mean, it's just, hey, it's an unexpected thing. I mean, we obviously had a bad feeling that this was going to happen, but now we just have to react to the situation and try and adapt the best way that we can. Clearly, mm-hmm. we're going to continue to keep doing the podcast. Obviously, as news comes out, we're going to be talking about it. But, you know, once we get around E3 time, I mean, we'll see what the lay of the landscape is and just adjust accordingly. And whatever coverage that we're able to get is exactly what we'll do. I mean, like you said, as an example, we're probably going to hop on a live stream, watch the Xbox press conference, and we're going to react to it, you know, afterwards. And then if we have opportunities to talk to people, you know, from the development teams of these games, you know, we will. I mean, like I said, the Divine Ross thing was going to be an in-person thing. Maybe we do a video interview. Maybe it's on the front page of Twitch. I don't know.
We don't know. Yeah.
We'll freaking see. We have no idea, but we'll react to it accordingly.
Yeah, man. Past E3 is like, look, this hasn't been the only time that's been a challenge for us when it comes to E3. We could go back the days where it was hard for us to get a badge, when it was there was no LA Convention Center. It was only San Monica hotels, E3. Remember those days, Paris?
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that, there was a time where, yeah, E3 returned to the LA Convention Center, but it was only meeting rooms. No big booth, nothing. It was just little rooms. You go there, interview, play the games, and get out of here. So we've been through these challenges in the past. And yes, this is a new challenge for us, a crazy new challenge. Well, everything is going to be okay. We're going to figure everything out, man. All everybody that's been supporting us and listening to the show, I want everybody to just stay safe. I think that to me is like the most important thing, man. It's everybody stay safe and just be careful where you go and what you do, because I don't want people to get sick, man, over all this, man. You know what I'm saying? So
agreed.
And at the end of the day, we're all going to buy the systems. All these consoles are coming out in November, man. So let's just celebrate as much as we can at home. You know what I'm saying? So there you go, man. So, by the way, I know people have been asking me about what's going on with Reggie. That was not going to be at E3, by the way. But we've been talking, and we're planning to have an interview in the future. We just don't know when. But once I have a date and an update, I'll talk about it. So, yes, Reggie Fils-Aimé is going to be on Gamer Talk Radio. We just don't know when. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
All right, Paris, I know there's been a couple of news that's been announced.
I have something that I absolutely want to talk about.
Okay. All right. There's many things, but go ahead. Which one?
So I am, for people that's watching this on Twitch, I am holding a copy of Horizon Zero Dawn for the PlayStation 4 in my hand right now. And I'm doing this because over the past few weeks / months, there's obviously been rumors that Horizon Zero Dawn was coming to the PC. And it was fascinating to see the reactions online of people being visibly upset that a game that came out 3 years ago might come to the PC. Like, it was the ultimate gatekeeping, right? How dare PlayStation take a three-year-old game and put it on another platform? This is complete outrage. Well, Guerrilla came out, put out a tweet, and guess what? Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to the PC on Steam this summer, and I think everyone should be celebrating. This is a good thing to see a game that good come to the PC, and we've talked about this already in the past, but it is introducing it to an audience that may or may not have known about it because they don't play PlayStation games. And now they have an opportunity to play it and enjoy it just like we all did back in 2017. This also means you're now exposing PlayStation exclusive games to an audience that, of course, they're not going to be day and date because, of course, PlayStation is going to continue to have exclusive titles. But maybe this now piques the interest of someone that has been PC only and said, you know what? I think I might get a PlayStation 5 because I want to play the new Horizon Zero Dawn 2 or Gran Turismo or whatever the hell, right? Yeah. This is a win for gaming, period. The people that continue to want a sword and shield to defend some freaking piece of plastic just baffles me. Yes, I call you dumb on social media and people get mad. Paris, you're a freaking hypocrite because you say that, but then you mock the people online. I do, because the whole thing's dumb. I laugh. It is hilarious to me that people continue to gatekeep stuff. I'm going to say this real quick because I want to be crystal clear, because I'm saying it live and it's going to be on a podcast later. So when anyone comes at me, I can just give them the tape.
At Vicious696.
Thank you.
Yes.
I am not an Xbox fan. I am not a PlayStation fan. I am not a Nintendo fan. I am not a PC fan. I am not a ColecoVision. Well, I might like ColecoVision. But the point is, I am a gaming fan. I don't care where I play my games as long as I'm playing something that gives me fun and enjoyment. It's all I care about. So you can continue to do. Look, Phil Spencer even said in an interview, have your console wars if you want. I will laugh at you the entire time because it is the dumbest thing I have ever seen. So again,
waste of time.
It's a complete waste of time. It's your money. Your money. If I play Horizon Zero Dawn on the PC, that does not hurt your experience at playing on the PlayStation. That's all I'm saying. And that's all anyone should think in these scenarios. Matter of fact, I hope more PlayStation games come to the PC. I really do. I just hope we get to the point where we're platform agnostic. I really do. Maybe because you have a PlayStation, maybe there's a wait time. You got to wait a year, 2 years, whatever. That's fine. I get it. That's business. Again, if you really want to play the game day and date, you'll go buy a damn PlayStation. But if you don't want to buy a PlayStation, why are we gatekeeping these amazing experiences from other people? That's all I'm saying. That's it. Yep. So trust me, guarantee you, I will be buying Horizon Zero Dawn on the PC just so I can play it again because I love the game that much. It was fantastic. And to now, look, with this monster I got right here, to not play this thing in true 4K, 60 plus frames, it's going to have ray tracing probably and all this other crazy stuff, I'm in, right? And that's how it should be, period. So, yes, console wars are dumb, and you are dumb if you are literally trying to defend a piece of plastic. That is just the truth. And if you don't like it, my Twitter is at Vicious696, and I will laugh at you online and probably quote tweet you too. So there you go.
There you go. Remember, guys, Vicious696. Hit him up. Hit him up with the hashtag GamerFan. There you go. GamerFan. Oh, by the way, before we wrap the show, Paris, your thoughts about this GameStop news. Reggie Fils-Aimé is also going to be part of GameStop, man.
It doesn't surprise me. This doesn't surprise me.
Was it board of directors, right?
Yeah, he's on the board of directors because, again, he's a huge name in the industry. Yeah. He's probably right behind Phil Spencer in executive, you know, like recognition. Like you hear that name, you instantly think of Nintendo, right? So to now be able to take that same name and that influence that he's had the past couple decades in gaming and bring that to GameStop – of course they did it. Of course. I don't know if you saw, their stock immediately went up when that got announced because
him coming
on there does matter. Now, look, is that going to save them retail wise and all that? I don't know. But his message of a retail store like GameStop still mattering in gaming is a pretty powerful one. And I don't disagree with it. But I will say to Reggie and to everyone at GameStop, prove it. Prove that retail still matters. Prove to me that I need to go into your store and purchase things and not just do it online. I mean, obviously, like we're just talking this E3 thing. We're questioning if E3 even matters, right? Do we just need to go digital with everything? Prove it. Prove us wrong. Prove it wrong. Because right now the numbers say that retail brick and mortar stores that are only catering to a gaming format don't necessarily matter anymore. So I'm excited to see what they do with this because clearly GameStop isn't giving up. They are trying. And that's all you can ask for.
And you know what, Paris? I want to mention about that because a couple of weeks ago, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because GameStop invited me. And you could tell just hanging out with the team, with the corporate team, something new is happening within the company. I just couldn't figure out what it was. I thought it was just only the stores, the new concept stores that they had, and that's it. I think it's more than just that. And I think having Reggie to be part of GameStop, I think this is just the beginning stages of it. And I know there was two other people that also got picked up too for them to do the same thing. That's also part of the board of directors. I just can't remember the top of the head their names. But I think this is going to be the beginning of something positive within the company, man. And like you said, yeah, they have to prove everybody's wrong that that retail is still important, man, nowadays in 2020, man, you know. So I'm excited, and actually, like, if I ever get the chance to talk with Reggie sometime, hopefully this year or in the future, I'm gonna ask him about that, about being part of a GameStop and their plans and so on.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. Anything else?
I am woefully behind in the Division 2. I've still not finished the story, and I see Aaron that is in here. He helped me on a story mission the other night. Yeah, we need to knock out. I still got to do one last lieutenant, and then we got to go do Keener. So I'm woefully behind. I'm not in the end game at all, obviously. And I know the season just started and all that. So, yeah, that's where I am. And I say that to say this. There's a new season of Destiny 2 out, and I'm not participating. And it's weird that I'm not participating because I don't really have the motivation to want to participate right now. I hope that changes. But right now, I just don't have the motivation to play any Destiny 2 right now. And I was even talking about this with another friend of ours. And I was saying, yeah. I think, because I don't know if you remember, I was on the Rageless Roundtable, you know, with Lano a few weeks ago, and we talked about this. And even then I was just saying to him that, you know, we've been playing this game for 5 years religiously. We're in year six of playing this game. We know the beats. We know how this game works. We know the cadence. And I don't want to necessarily call it burnout, but I just, there's just other games out there that I want to play, and playing a game like Destiny 2 requires so much of my attention that I almost just feel like I'm just purposely taking a break from it. I know I will come back to it. Absolutely. I will. That there's no question on that, but it's good to play other things. Let's put it that way. Cause look, I'll tell you right now, matter of fact, I just scheduled my dentist appointment checkup, and it's September 16th. And it was funny when she did it. I go, September 6th. I go, why does this date stick in my head? I go, oh, that's the day before Cyberpunk. Okay. Yeah. Let's get that knocked out, because when the 17th gets here, I'm out.
He's out.
That's all I'm playing for at least a month. I'm not touching nothing else.
That is, you know, hilarious. Yeah. Paris is like, wait a minute, this date, it's something about this date.
But oh, snap. Yeah, so, yeah. So I know I'll be back to Destiny. But again, in Division 2, yeah, if and I know B-Mac is in here too. So I'll be on tonight and help brother out. I need to get through this stuff so I can get in the end game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. By the way, I don't know if I should mention this, because I wanted to briefly mention this, because I read a reviewer or something, I don't know, a comment from someone that was kind of disappointed with our content the past few weeks.
No, you should mention it, because I was going to mention it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let me read. Actually, do you have it there? I'm trying to remember exactly where.
No, I don't. It's not my job. You're the captain, remember?
All right. I see it. All right, so usually we get a lot of reviews from people around the world that they'll go to Apple Podcasts and they post, you know, their thoughts about GTR, which is fine. Like, if the content is not that great, please let us know how we could get better, how we could be better. I don't mind about that, right?
Yes.
But when it comes to, like, opinions, that's not an actual review. It sounds like you're just angry on, like, stuff that we've been doing or saying, right? So one of the listeners posted this review and wrote, listening to episode 1006, and you guys sound like such a PlayStation fanboys. In 2013, all people did was talk trash about how much powerful the PlayStation 4 was over the Xbox One. Now, the shoe is on the other foot, and I quote, no one cares about power. All right, nobody cares. PlayStation hasn't officially announced anything other than a logo, and y'all talking like, they're going to have some crazy kind of launch lineup full of features, while Xbox has already confirmed their next gen will be equal to a powerful PC. As someone from Oklahoma, for you to keep questioning why GameStop tests their stores in Tulsa after it was explained during your interview just sounds like a hate on a city you know nothing about. I've been disappointed since your interview with Phil Spencer. So I just want to say this real quick. I've been saying this, and I think Paris and also Pete have been saying this since day one. We really don't care about power, man. I've always been saying this, and you can listen to the last episode of GTR. I've been saying this. If you have power, fine. That's cool. But if you don't have no games, then that power is a waste of money, waste of time. It's a waste of a console, in my opinion. I care about content. I played Nintendo Switch. I played The Witcher 3 on the Nintendo Switch. I have more hours on that device playing that game than on my Xbox, which is more powerful console than Nintendo Switch. I could care less about power, man. So, yes, what matters to me is content, man. You have the right games. We can play it. We can have fun. And that's all that matters, man. Phil, your favorite person, said it during the interview. He said it himself. It's your choice. You could play the same exact game on a weaker console or on a powerful console. It's all up to you, but we're still going to be playing the same exact game. Who cares? That's it. And I just want to say that real quick, because I read that, and I wanted to say something about that, Paris. So there you have it. You want to say anything about that, Paris?
I want to say something about it. You know
I want to say something about it. Go for it, man. Hashtag GamerFan. Go for it, man.
And again, to the person that left the feedback, thank you for leaving the feedback. We appreciate the feedback. We always do. But I'm going to say this. That comment was dumb. Now we're placed again to use the word fanboy. Number one is ridiculous. I mentally check out the second I see that, because we've been doing this how many years for how long? Again, to say that I'm a quote unquote fanboy, or either one of us is a fanboy of a particular product, just shows you that you hear what you want to hear. It is a ridiculous statement, because I talk about them all. And none of them are perfect, and we hold all of them, all their feet to the fire. Again, the literal head of Xbox said it himself. I could play the tape now, but he said it. We are fair, but we're critical. Trust me, I got some Stadia stories that I'm sitting on right now that I can't wait to talk about. Okay. You know, and obviously I have been very hard on them. But the point is, what Danny said about power is true. I would not have a $3,500 PC right here if I didn't care about power. Clearly, I want the best fidelity possible. Of course, obviously, Microsoft is doing that with the Series X. PlayStation 5, Sony's going to do that with the PlayStation 5. Again, yes, you want stuff in 4K and ray tracing and the HDR and the 60 frames and all the buzzwords that you can think of. Of course. But at the end of the day, who's the best developer in the world? It's Nintendo, and Nintendo has not cared about power, not never. And they make the best games in the world, period. It comes down to the games. I don't care how powerful your platform is. If your games suck, no one's going to buy it, period. Again, everyone loves to talk trash about Xbox's generation, and it is very warranted, by the way. They came out with the Xbox One X. It's the most powerful console in the world right now, right? Still ain't selling that great. Want to know why? Because Xbox doesn't have that great of games right now. But they're working on it. They're trying to fix that, obviously, going into the next generation. PlayStation clearly has the best games this generation. You know, year after year, the hits just keep coming. And that's why there's 100 plus million PlayStation 4s out there. Obviously, Nintendo with the Switch. Look at what they've done just since 2017 with the Switch. Want to know why? Because they got a bunch of amazing games on it. That's what it comes down to. Not power. Power is great. Power is a great supplement. I love power. Again, wouldn't have this PC if I didn't care about power. But if you ain't got no damn games I want to play, power doesn't matter. And that's all Danny was saying. That's all I'm saying. So, again, respectfully, obviously you caught our attention with this one because we're talking about it. But when you insult us to give us feedback, typically we're not going to respond to that because I sure don't respond to it on Twitter and all the other places because, you know, people always get mad at me. But respect goes both ways. That's all it is with feedback. You can tell us what we're doing wrong. Get it. But when you started off with the fanboy this and the fanboy that and blah, 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 blah. Come on. Really? It's like I question your age is what I really do, because, I mean, we're both grown. I mean, so maybe there was a kid that sent it in. I don't know. But if you want us to take your feedback seriously, be respectful at the same time, positive or negative. The same way that I can give negative feedback to Xbox about their platform and they think it's fair, I will also think it's fair if you give us negative feedback as well. But you do it respectfully. That's all.
Yep. And one more thing, one last thing. And we mentioned this too, Paris. One of Paris's favorite game, a Mario game, was Mario Galaxy. When that came out, that was for the Nintendo Wii. That console wasn't powerful, plus it didn't have no HD, and it was still one of his favorite Mario games ever. One of them, right, Paris?
Yeah.
Mario Galaxy, a classic, not powerful at all, no HD. That's an example right there, man. Well, again, it's all about having fun, man.
I still say to this day the best game ever made is Super Mario Brothers 3. Fight me on that. That's an 8-bit game from 1990. Come on. Yeah.
And difficult, too.
Not easy at all. But again, that's the whole point here. Like, look, perfect example of that. Ori and the Blind Forest, the new one's out right now. Beautiful. It's freaking breathtakingly beautiful. Looks amazing for the whole thing, right? But you know what makes Ori so freaking good? The actual platforming gameplay that's inside of that shell of beauty. If the gameplay wasn't good inside of Ori, no one would care how pretty it looked. That's the point.
Yep.
We all like pretty. We love pretty. No one's saying that not make a game pretty. But if your game sucks, no one's going to play it. That's all we're saying.
Speaking of Ori, that game is tough. That game is tough. Yeah. Tough, but it's a beautiful game. Yeah. I'll definitely will review that next episode of GTR, man. So anything else, Paris?
No, I think that's it. I'm sure I've pissed off enough people here in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. We started, you know, good, positive, and then we ended it with a rant. That's how we do it. Hashtag gamer fan.
Yep. Hashtag gamer fan. Oh my God. If I get hashtag gamer fan on Twitter, I'm going to die. That's going to be so funny.
Yeah, everybody. Hashtag gamer tag. Gamer fan. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio episode 1009. And we're going to give you updates on our future coverage of this E3 2020 digital version once we get to hear from every other company, like their plans, their schedule, and everything. So stay tuned on that. Also, please send donations. Like we said, we're going to use that money to buy camera and also audio equipment for not only the podcast, but also a video version, man, of it, man. That would be cool.
URL.
We can start doing interview. Yeah, I'm going to mention that right now. The URL is donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Or send us through PayPal. That's paypal@gamertagradio.com. Even if it's a dollar, we all appreciate this, man. Keep it up. And thank you for everybody for supporting us and everything, man. So also, you want to contact us for fan mail? Here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, I think that's about it from my end. Anything from you?
No, I think that's it. We're good. Unfortunately, no after show because I got to go get my daughter and a few.
All right, cool. All right, so until next time, we're out. Stay safe, everyone. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. All right, peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.